Generational wealth is controversial, but there are a lot of people who want to set their children up for life. And as long as you start quickly, it doesn't take as much as you would think. Welcome back to the Becoming Work Optional podcast, where we discuss personal finance strategies you can use to regain ownership of your time. I'm Rachel, and with me is my co-host, Matt. And today, we want to help you understand generational wealth, the pros, the cons, and the tools that you can use to help the next generation. So what really inspired this episode was working with a lot of clients who actually did have this goal to want to help their children in some capacity. There's some clients I had that really wanted to be sure their children were set up for life. Some clients who just wanted to help them through undergrad or a down payment for a house. But what I found is, you know, spending time on social media, it seems like there's not that many people who vouch for generational wealth or transferring money to their children. So before I worked with clients, I kind of thought that was the general consensus. So it's been a surprise to me in working with clients that actually, I would say a majority of them actually do have this goal of generational wealth. I'm curious if you have the same experience, Matt.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like most of the clients that I work with, especially when you get into like the really high net worth range, ultimately when you have like several million dollars or tens of millions of dollars that you expect to have at the end of your life, like you want that money to benefit your family. But it's really hard to find the balance of like, okay, how do I benefit them without also just creating an environment where like they don't have to do anything? And I think that's where like we're going to get into, it really comes down to like being intentional and like figuring out like what kind of wealth you want to pass on and like the ways that you want to use your wealth to benefit them both during their lifetime, as well as when you're gone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think the first thing is just understanding how you want to help your children. I find a lot of clients want to help their children in ways where they struggled. So there are some clients I had where they graduated school with debt, and that was a difficult experience for them. They want to make sure their children don't have to go through that. Or maybe they struggle to buy a home or just had struggled to get started when they first started their career. So they really want to give their children a head start. I had a really interesting client the other day who actually wanted to help their children so much that he wanted to be sure that his children were picking careers based off what they love and what they want to do rather than from a financial perspective, which I find really interesting because that's a lot of what we talk about with Work Optional, is that the goal is to get there so that you have options and that you can start to make decisions, not from a financial perspective, but from an impact or just chasing your interests. So it was an interesting thing to think about that he actually wanted to do this, but for his children, to set them up to where they went after careers where they felt like they wanted to have a big impact.
Yeah, that's awesome too, to especially just have that like long-term mindset of wanting to provide that, because it's like, think about how many people would, you know, maybe they have like, they're very artistic and they want to do something related to art, but then it's like they have all this outside pressure from whether it's like their family or just general sentiment in life of like, oh, you need to do something that's going to earn you a lot of money and like set yourself up without, even though like it's not going to be like fun for you or like even lead to like a satisfactory life.
Yeah, I think it's a big shift that I'm noticing more and more in the next generation, that the impact or having goals beyond money is becoming more valuable, more important. So in my opinion, a good shift. But yeah, I think when it comes to generational wealth, thinking about your children or just thinking about anybody in the next generation that you want to help, understanding how you want to help them is the first goal, because we can backtrack, run numbers, but if we need to understand, you know, do you want to help with college or do you want to help beyond that? And even with college, something I've noticed not a lot of clients have thought through is, what type of college do you want to cover? So we can look at private or public, in-state, out-of-state. Do you want to cover just undergrad? Do you want to cover beyond undergrad? And I notice a lot of people haven't thought through all the details of that. And I can tell you from a financial planning perspective, there's a massive difference typically between public and in-state and private and out-of-state. And so there are times where I've had clients who say, well, I want to cover basically anywhere they want to go until they see the numbers. And then mm-hmm. their mindset shifts a bit. So I don't think it's a bad goal to want to cover, say, 75% of private or just cover public, something like that. Because even that can have a big impact for your children.
Yeah. It's just like everything that we talk about with financial planning, like you have to have a goal in mind, like that you're working towards. Because like you said, whenever I start to talk to someone and they're like, yeah, so I have these 529s and they're saving to them, but I'm like, okay, well, how much do you want to pay for? Like, is it going to be a public? Is it going to be a private? Is it going to be 4 years? Do you want to make sure there's something for potential post-grad? And yeah, no one really thinks about it. It's just like, okay, I'm putting money towards this account because I'm saving for their education. And, the downfall of not really being intentional about that is like, maybe you're saving too much and you're actually detracting from your own lifestyle because you're trying to fund this. And a lot of times, like I'll run simulations and show, okay, like based off of your current approach, like you're actually going to be overfunded. Mm-hmm. And like that to me is like, you really have to think about, we've talked about this before too, doing kind of like a hybrid approach with a 529 and a taxable account. Because it's really going to allow you to like, okay, you have your tax advantage funds for college, but then you also have funds that are more, free, they're completely free for use, but they're not going to have the same tax advantages of a 529 or other education account. But really being intentional about that and understanding how much goes to particular accounts, how they're taxed, what the control is over them, whether there's penalties for withdrawing for non-education expenses, the list goes on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so. There's several different ways to create generational wealth. Obviously, creating a successful business is one of the best ways. And then also real estate, but then there's just stock market. So a lot of the people that I work with, that's where they have a goal of is building wealth through just buying, index funds for their children when they're young. And that can be a really efficient and easy way to do it. So when we go in that direction, then we start thinking about the accounts. And to Matt, your point, you have to consider, okay, what's the tax impact of each of these accounts? What's the control of the account? I notice a lot of parents don't realize when they set up certain accounts that they're going to lose control of that account at a fairly young age for the child. So that's important to consider. And then, yeah, the goal. So again, how do you want to help your child? So, when we're looking at generational wealth in a way of building it through the stock market and just typical accounts, the most common ones are 529, UTMA, brokerage, custodial Roth. And the 529, you brought this up, Matt, but that's a college savings account. The drawback of that is taking money out of the account for non-education expenses because there's tax and penalty when you do that. The UTMA is something I alluded to already, but essentially, that's an irrevocable gift to the account for your child. So you cannot take that back out unless it's for your child. And then at the age of majority, your child actually takes complete ownership over the account. And depending on the state, that's typically age 18 or 21. So a lot of people with the UTMA aren't aware of that, that they as the parent are going to lose control of that account. And for many parents, age 18 or 21 is a bit too It's a bit earlier than they are typically comfortable with because there's that concern of, is my child going to be financially responsible at that age?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, maybe I'm probably going to sound super old when I say this, but I feel like the age of becoming mature, continues to get delayed as time goes on. I'd say most people, 18 or 21, having full access to an account, who knows, could have tens, hundreds of thousands of dollars in it, is really scary for some parents. And I think even the ones that know that it transfers ownership at, the age of majority, what they don't realize is that it's an irrevocable gift and it's in the child's possession at that point. So it's say you decide to use an UTMA to save for college instead of using a 529. Then they get a scholarship or something and they aren't able to, or they don't need those funds. Well, at least with the 529, you're able to take out that amount without a penalty For like equal to the amount of the scholarship. But with an UTMA, it's like, okay, they don't need it for college now, and that was your intention. You can't take that back and say, okay, now I want this for like my own work optional or retirement goals. It's in their name now. So again, just things that you really need to think about prior to, you know, reading a headline about generational wealth, seeing that UTMA is an account that people use, and then just starting to fund it, thinking that, you know, you're doing like you're hitting the goals that you want with generational wealth.
Yeah. And I think you'll notice from a work optionality perspective, we're such big fans of the brokerage account because of the optionality you have with it. There are no restrictions on funding the account or what you can take money out for. So, you know, Matt, you mentioned earlier, we'll have to dive deeper into this at some point, but that 529 brokerage hybrid can be a really good solution if you're wanting to save for your child, but you're worried that you might be overfunding the 529. The other account we haven't hit on yet is the custodial Roth, which I actually really, I like this account, especially if you want to set your children up for just jumpstart their retirement or long-term wealth. This is a really good way to get money into a Roth while your child is in a very low tax bracket, hopefully. And that way that money can really grow tax-free. They have decades before they'll access that money. So if long-term wealth or retirement or whatever you want to call it is a goal for helping your child, the custodial Roth is a really good way to do that. Your child needs to have earned income in order to contribute to that. So have to be careful, make sure you follow the rules, the contribution limits with the custodial Roth. That's one of my favorite strategies.
Yeah. When you are able, like when you have a situation that fits the criteria to fund a custodial Roth, I kind of feel like that's one of the almost no brainer options as much as anything can be. But yeah, you know, you can't say that you're paying them to clean the house and then like they have earned income that they can contribute. They have to have legitimate earned income that's, you know, reported on a tax return. So all kinds of considerations there to really make sure that you're not going to basically shoot yourself in the foot down the line. And I think, you know, unless you have anything else like related to kind of the options in the accounts, I think that's where we really transition into like, what are the downsides of generational wealth? What are the things that, you know, maybe you have the best of intentions, but it just ends up, you know, not working out and actually ends up being like a detriment.
Yeah. I think there is certainly something to be said around motivation and something that you might be taking away from your children by providing too much. There is a balance that I think you can strike. I know there's a lot of really successful, wealthy people who actually plan to not transfer anything on to their children. And a big reason for that is because they're worried about taking motivation away from their child. If their child knows that at some point they are going to be inheriting a lot of money, it might be difficult for them to really push themselves, you know, in their own career or whatever it is to make their own money. And I fully understand that concern. I think when it comes to generational wealth, and if you really do want to help your child, you almost have to go about it in a bit of a secretive manner. I would say one of my biggest pieces of advice for anybody that does want to transfer on money to their children is to try to wait to tell them. So let them start their career, make their own money, not have any idea that significant wealth is coming, like establish those habits, you know, before they have any awareness that they will be inheriting large sums of money. And so at that point, once they understand that they are inheriting money, the habits are built, you know, the career is started, and hopefully that doesn't take away from motivation at that point.
Yeah. It's, I love the way you said it, just kind of like being secretive about it. I mean, you want to talk about money in your household, especially with your kids, but you don't need to talk about your specific money. And that I think is a really big distinction. And, you know, I always relate back to like my own situation. Realistically, that's what just about everyone does. You know, you think about how you grew up with money, and then you either, you know, had a good experience or you had a bad experience, and that's going to shape the way that's, you know, you then treat it with your family in the future. And like, you know, my parents never really, like, definitely never talked about their own financial situation, but even like financial education wasn't really, it's not like they, you know, taught me anything about how money works. It was like, hey, you know, don't, like when I got my first credit card, they're like, you know, don't carry a balance on it because you're going to pay interest. And, but so like, I knew like basic things like that, which even a lot of people don't even get that. But what I really saw was like the way that money was handled was like, it wasn't spent frivolously. Like it was very like money was, you know, associated with hard work. So that for me was like, okay, I want to, like, I have now this motivation to work hard, and because I want to, you know, set myself up to have money and like enjoy the life that I want. At the same time, you know, when I was in college, so like my parents paid for my tuition, I paid for my, like, basically like my rent, living expenses, and like any kind of leisure stuff. And like to do that, I was working like construction, like 70 hours a week in like in the summers. And then during school, even I would work 2 to 3 jobs at a time. Me looking back on that, like, I think that there was like, that was really positive because it, again, kind of like really instilled the hard work aspect. But, you know, I want, like, if I have a kid that's in a situation like where they go to college, I want to ease the burden a little bit. I don't want them to have to work the 2 to 3 jobs because I want them, like, there are things that I missed out on that, you know, ultimately looking back on, it's like, yeah, who cares? But in the moment, it's like, man, I really wish I would have been able to go and do that or something. So I think those are things like really being intentional about money, like inside your household without actually putting it out there, like what they stand to gain.
Yeah. And, you know, I think about it a lot, especially with my, a lot of the high net worth clients or even thinking about the future, having children. And I completely understand parents who want to be very careful, not spoil their children. And then, you know, on top of that, of course, is also making sure that their children don't experience significant hardship either. Again, it's a balance. They should experience some hardship, but obviously at the extremes, it can backfire and be really detrimental to the child. So I think about that with wealth a lot because it can be hard for the parents to be living, you know, a life where they are now enjoying and reaping the benefits of all of their hard work, but their children are there as well. So it's a good problem to have type of thing. But I think, you know, when we look at the research for the way that generational wealth is destroyed, one of the most common ways is just a lack of education. So for whatever reason, we've got this idea that money shouldn't be talked about, you know, at the dinner table with friends or anything like that. And I do think the next generation is starting to really challenge that. People are becoming a lot more transparent about what they do with their money and their savings. And it's becoming more acceptable to talk about it. And I think that I know it has a massive impact because the research shows that in families where you can talk about money, or money is openly discussed, it actually does benefit the child. Again, there's a balance because there were times where growing up, I saw money discussed, but it was in a really stressful way. So I took on that stress. So it's more of a, let's educate our child. And there's several ways, of course, to do that. You can help your child understand budgeting. You can give them an allowance to make sure that they save a percentage of it. There's a finance creator I like, blanking on his name, but he does something like 401k dad or something where he matches what their child puts into an account. And that helps the child understand compounding and savings. And so just giving your child early exposure to investing, especially when we talk about compounding interest, can really help them long-term with those financial habits, just instill that in them. And then, you know, again, eventually, hopefully if they do inherit money, they have the knowledge and the habits instilled already to know how to manage that money.
Yeah. And like I said, it's not like money was talked about, or like I was, you know, sat down and like given lessons, about money in my house. Like I think about, you know, the first time that I actually became really interested in, like finance, personal finance in particular, was like in my high school economics class, we learned about like the time value of money. And if someone started saving at 25 versus 35, like how much that their balances differ, you know, 30 years from now. And I think about like, you know, if if I had learned that stuff when I was, you know, maybe even younger, like who knows, like I what I would have done. But I think just like getting those kind of concepts in front of children is really beneficial to help them understand the power of it. And I know, like, you know, after that class, I was ready to go, and like I was researching stocks. I had no idea what I was doing, but like it still, like, it got that, like, the ball rolling for me.
Yeah. And, you know, and you can have advanced strategies too. And that's where you can bring in like trusts and just do more advanced estate planning to help preserve wealth, especially when you are in that ultra high net worth category. I know, I mean, I have clients who are just, I guess you could say, just label them as high net worth, but they do worry about their children going through divorce or something that would split their assets. And so they want to make sure that that's protected, and they've set up estate planning in a way that that wealth is protected. Or if you have a child that you would like to help, but you're not completely comfortable just passing on a lump sum of money, there are ways to control that through, again, advanced estate planning, using trust, things like that. So I think that can make a lot of sense if you want to have what they call control beyond the grave. That can be a great way to be sure that the wealth is preserved too.
Yeah, I absolutely love like trust planning and estate planning, especially for the clients that are concerned about things like that. You know, I love like helping them think through, you know, what might happen in the future. And again, it's like, oh, is that a pessimistic outlook? Maybe, but I also think it's an appropriate outlook to really consider all the things that that might happen. Like it or not, the divorce rate is like 50%. You know, that leaves fairly high probability that, you know, maybe one of your children ends up getting divorced. And like, if that money passes to them outright and it's a marital asset, now, you know, they get divorced and half of that is gone. And thinking of ways to avoid that while also like giving them the control to actually enjoy the money is awesome. On the same token, you know, you don't want to, there's no reason to really set up a trust that passes on to your kids, but have it be so restrictive that they can't even use it. Cause it's like, then what's the point of your money? It actually defies everything we talk about using money during our lifetime. Now you're defying that for, you know, your heirs in the future. So that I think is one thing that you really have to consider is like, how do you make it flexible enough that they can enjoy it while also still protecting it from being either kind of squandered from spending and bad decisions versus, you know, a potential something that's out of their hands, like a divorce or like a liability claim for something. And that's where, yeah, like you said, working with high net worth individuals, it's really comes into focus often. And there's no like boilerplate template for it. You really have to talk with people. Again, it goes back to their experiences with money and what they want to kind of make for a future for their heirs.
Yeah. And I think too, one of my favorite strategies for generational wealth is helping your child while you're still alive. And so a lot of times when people receive an inheritance, it's, you know, when they themselves are close to retirement and they've kind of gotten through that rough patch of they have the house, they help their children get through college. And so they get money at a time where it's not as helpful as it would have been in their 20s or 30s. And so I'm seeing more and more people have a desire to transfer on assets while they're still alive and when their children most need it. And I think that's a really good idea because you get to see your child benefit from it and they get to benefit from it during the time that they most need it. So I'm starting to notice that shift. He talks about it. Bill Perkins talks about it in Die with Zero as well. And so as long as you've run the numbers and it makes sense financially and you've taken care of yourself first, that's another thing we could talk about, but always be sure that your own retirement income, your own savings are taken care of. But then if you're able to help on top of that, I think that's a great strategy to use.
Oh, without a doubt. And I always say too, you know, especially when you get in like the high net worth range, people like to look at like, oh, well, you know, if I'm going to have an estate tax issue, then they immediately just kind of revert to like irrevocable trust planning. But like lifetime gifting is especially like if you're married, and then say you have a couple kids or one or two kids and they're married as well, like the amount of gifts that you can stack, like, you know, $18,000 per person, that means you and a spouse can each give $36,000 to a kid. And then if they're married, you can give $36,000 to their spouse.
Yep.
Like
it adds up.
Yeah. Those are all things that like you start that early, again, going back to you have determined that you're going to be in a good position and like you can make these gifts, like lifetime gifting is a huge advantage, not just from like the estate tax perspective, but yeah, being able to actually see the way that your giftees are benefiting from what you're giving them. And I think that, I mean, I don't know, personally, I feel like that would be one of the most satisfying things that, mm-hmm. that you could really use money for.
Yeah, I completely agree.
So that brings us to the end of this episode. As always, thanks for listening. If you enjoy the show, please consider giving us a rating, reviewing, or subscribing on whatever platform you're listening or watching on. Be sure to come back next time. Again, I'm Matt. You can find me at my business website, unrivaledwm.com, or on any kind of social platform, including Twitter/X or Instagram @Matthew_Garrisick. Rachel, what about you?
Yeah, and I'm Rachel. I also want to say thank you. We have over 6,000 downloads now. So that's been really great to see. Thank you, everybody, for listening. I'm Rachel Camp. You can find me Camp Wealth, Instagram, YouTube, Camp_Wealth on Twitter, and website is rachelcampwealth.com.
Awesome. See you guys next time.
Like the disclosures say in the bio of this podcast, this content is strictly for educational and informational purposes. And because everyone's situation is unique, you should consult with the appropriate professional before enacting any of the information you may hear in this podcast. You should not construe any such information or material as legal, tax, investment, or financial advice. This content is provided as is, and although the material is believed to be accurate, no representations are made that the content is error-free.